Poised for Exit is a show for business owners who want to achieve a successful exit based on their own terms. Your business exit will likely be the biggest financial transaction of your life, and for most, you'll have one shot at doing it right. The topics and guests we feature and the stories they share will provide valuable ideas and strategies to improve operations and grow enterprise value so you can achieve the best possible exit outcome. Now here's your host, award-winning certified exit planning advisor, Julie Keyes.
Welcome, everybody, to Poised for Exit, the Exit Planning Podcast Show. Our guest today is a former financial advisor who's turned exit planner, and he helps owners of financial advisory firms and other professional services firms exit their business. We're going to hear from him shortly, but first, a message from our show sponsors.
Right now, there's a record number of buyers looking for businesses, and many businesses are selling at a premium. To get a free, confidential business valuation so you'll know what your business might be worth, contact a broker at Sunbelt Business Advisors at 612-455-0880. We're Minnesota's largest seller of companies. Let us help you maximize your life's work. Call 612-455-0880 or visit sunbeltmidwest.com.
What we see with many businesses is that they've never gotten marketing to work consistently, and the marketing they do doesn't meaningfully impact their bottom line. Data approaches it differently by partnering with clients for long-term, sustainable marketing solutions. They start with a consultative, crawl, walk, run approach that helps you scale your marketing efforts naturally. Data provides marketing for the long-time success of your business to tell your story in a compelling way and to make sure the value you bring is apparent to everyone. Go to data.com for more information. That's data.com.
TrustPoint will design and manage a 401k plan that fits your company's needs. They handle everything from record keeping and investments to employee education and ongoing administration. And they take on the highest level of fiduciary responsibility to ensure your 401k plan is compliant. You already have plenty to keep you up at night. Your 401k plan should not be one of them. Visit TrustPointInc.com for more details.
For business owners, it can be overwhelming to start planning a transition or exit strategy, but it's so important to avoid unwanted outcomes and unexpected tax bills. The CPAs at JAK, John A. Knutson & Company, can guide you and help make sense of the numbers. Our firm was established over 90 years ago, and we've assisted countless companies with ownership transitions. Leaving your business is a process that takes time. So contact us today to discuss your situation. Visit our website at jakcpa.com. That's jakcpa.com.
Hey, everybody. We're here in the studio today with Steve Jutton, who's a CFP and founder of Bridgegate Partners. Steve, welcome to Poised for Exit.
Thank you very much, Julie. A pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you. I understand from our conversation before the show that you've been a CFP for a long time, successful financial advisory firm. Actually, you still are, but that you sold most of your business. Is that right? And now you're helping others in that industry exit their business.
Yes, the exactly right. My plan was to exit gradually for the last 20 clients or so. And that'll be done by the end of this year. But I'm still a practicing financial advisor. Just most of the business has now been switched to my successor.
Well, that's great. And so, I mean, it's probably obvious, but I don't know that the answer is obvious. So I'm going to ask it anyway. How did you decide that you were going to become, you know, an advisor to other advisors in your industry? And in other words, like an exit planner, kind of like me.
So it was brought about for two reasons, and I'll back up just a little bit. Before I was an advisor, and I've been an advisor for 23 years now, mm-hmm. I was a management consultant, and although it wasn't my primary business, we consulted on a fair number of mergers and acquisitions. And mm-hmm. So, for example, there were two hospitals in Montana that were going to merge, And we were brought in to merge their HR systems. And I was the project manager on that. So I got to see it from that very beginning. And in business in general, that's what happens. Companies merge and acquire and everything. And then second, towards the start of when I was an advisor, a friend of mine sold his business. And he said, I don't really know what it is that I'm doing. And I said, I don't know much more than that. But we sort of collaborated to sell his business. And so I took those lessons and brought those into the process for me selling my business. When I got done, my coach said, you know, you've done this enough. I'll bet a lot of other financial advisors and other service businesses would probably appreciate somebody who's been there, done that, and truly got the t-shirt. And so I said, oh, that's kind of interesting. And it gives me the chance to combine my consulting and mediation and financial advisory practice all together into one. So evolved into it. It's the third stage of my life, I guess, of my business life.
Well, that's really, I think the background is super helpful because, I mean, for me, in my experience and going through my own exit as well, being able to empathize, truly empathize, you know, not necessarily just throwing theory out there, but, you know, being able to say, yeah, I put this into practice and this is how it went for me. I think that that means a lot to our clients because we can understand and empathize, like I said, where they're coming from and how they're feeling.
I agree. And when I talk to financial advisors, they oftentimes will say, oh, you're a CFP. How come you're not doing that anymore? And I tell them, been there, done that, got the t-shirt and exited. And that gives you not only immediate credibility, but that key element of empathy. And they appreciate that because selling a business is scary. If you've never done it before, it's a challenging effort and it's scary. And it's your livelihood. It's your clients. It's your employees.
Right.
And so that talking to somebody that's been there helps a lot, as you well know.
Well, and your industry is not just like every other industry in terms of exit planning. It seems like, I mean, there's just a lot more that goes into all of that. And we'll get to that in a second. But I wanted to ask about, you know, when you went through your transition, what were some of the lessons that you learned in that experience that you're using now with your clients? And you use the term winning on the way out, which I think is really interesting. So tie that in for us.
Yeah, thank you. It is. And I don't know about you, but I learn probably more from the mistakes I made than from the things that I did right. But I try to bring both of those to my clients.
For sure. What I really mean is, what are the mistakes you made? You know, but yeah, it's totally your lessons learned.
Yes, you're being very, very polite, but it's the mistakes I made. But I'll talk about winning on the way out first, because when I made the decision that I was ready to be done, which was about 5 years before the exit actually happened, I thought about it and I said, well, what's really important to me? It's in doing this. And I came up with this concept of I wanted all the stakeholders to be well taken care of. And much to the chagrin of my coach, who was saying, oh, you know, you don't need to think about that. And I said, no, I really do. And sure. So it was my clients, who many of them I had been working with for 20 years. And as a financial advisor, the way that I do it, I was a fee-only fiduciary financial advisor. It's getting to know them and their families and their life story and the hills and valleys and the deaths and the births. Mm-hmm. So I really cared about those clients. And I just had this feeling that I don't want to just move on. Second thing with my teammates, and there were 9 of us at one point, and same thing, we had gotten to know each other well, and we were kind of like a family, right? And sometimes a dysfunctional family. And then I was concerned about the buyer. And so I came up with this concept called, and me, of course, and we came up with a concept called winning on the way out, where we wanted to take as best we could everybody's interests in mind and make sure that it was a win-win-win-win as much as we could, always recognizing that it's imperfect. And so that was where the winning on the way out came in. And I try to bring that to clients now and say, let's think of all the stakeholders, including your family, right? Because they're affected by it. But the lessons, or as we're calling them, are the mistakes. There were 3. One of them was, and you can talk to this, it's very emotional to sell a business that you've built.
Yeah.
And I was not ready for the emotional ups and downs nearly as much, because it's hard. It's hard to both run a business and exit it at the same time. And you have days when you're think, you know, this is never going to work. And days when you're saying, somebody would come and give me a dollar, I'd give them the keys. So yeah. The emotional ups and downs.
For sure.
The second lesson I learned very early on, and you say this in your book as well, the Poise for Exit book, I didn't know how to look at my business from the viewpoint of a buyer. We get so involved in knowing our business and looking at it from our perspective. Mm-hmm. But I was sort of knocked upside along the head by a potential buyer who asked me for a bunch of information that we didn't normally track.
Sure.
And that reminded me that, geez, I need to look at this from the buyer's perspective. So that was the second lesson. And then the third one, and again, I know you mentioned this in your book, I didn't do a very good job of doing life planning about, you know, what would happen after I was there. It's a little bit, I tell my clients this, it's a little bit like getting married, right? There's so much emphasis that goes into the wedding day that, and maybe even the honeymoon, but the day after you come back from the honeymoon, the question is, okay, now what? And that was me. I got done and did a good job, and I knew a little bit what I was going to do, but most advisors that I talk to don't know what they're going to do
right
after they sell the business.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the third lesson. You really need to think about that. And you call it in your book, life planning, what's going to happen next. And so I've added that as one of the elements that we talk about when we talk about selling with advisors, business owners, is what's next for you as well. And for some, that means retirement. Julie, you know this, many people will say, oh, I'm not going to do anything, or I've got a long honey-do list, or, I want to travel or something. Well, that's not nearly enough.
No.
And so I try to put some emphasis on that. So there you go. Those are my three lessons.
Well, and those are very common lessons. You're not alone. I know that. But it does sound like, though, that because you started planning this at 5 years out, I mean, that's an ideal amount of time, sometimes a little bit longer if it's going to be like a family member that's going to come in and take over. Sometimes you need a little more time than that, but 5 years is a good amount of time for you to figure out your wants, your needs, you know, what am I going to do next? What does this look like and how do I want this to shake out? And I'm really glad that you factored in all of the stakeholders, as you said, because sometimes when you don't, even if it's not, you know, even if you're not focusing on a feel good, you know, kind of outcome, if someone doesn't win, then many times it can unravel the whole deal, right?
And exactly.
So everyone really has to come away with it feeling like, okay, I feel like I got a good deal out of this. Like you said, not perfect, but I can live with this, and this is a good thing. So for sure.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Especially your clients. I mean, you know, you think about how important they are, because if you wouldn't have had them, you wouldn't have been able to have your business or make a living. And so
yes,
we definitely want to have them taken care of. So when you look at the industry, though, as far as succession planning or exit planning, whatever we want to call that, when it comes to your industry, because I think succession planning is pretty prominent in financial advisory firms. But there are certain obstacles, though, with the industry that might be a little bit different than, you know, just, you know, regular, like, whatever kind of company we were talking about, maybe manufacturing or retail or some other company, mainstream company, that's not specific to, like, a professional service, if that makes sense.
Sure. So you mentioned succession planning and exit planning. And for many financial advisors, they think succession planning, meaning they fall in one of three groups. Either there's a family member that's going to take over the business, or there's another advisor that's going to take over the business, or there's another advisor within the company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it tends to be succession planning. It does happen that you can sell your business outside one of those three,
sure,
but it's not that common. It's not that common.
Right.
And so it becomes more succession planning. But here's the rub, okay? If you stay within your company, it's called an RIA, Registered Investment Advisor, or broker-dealer,
mm-hmm,
they have all the interest in keeping the business within the company. They are not on your side if you're an advisor. They don't care about you. They care about maintaining the revenue in the company.
Right.
And some of the companies, and I won't even mention names at the moment, they have a succession planning team that will, quote unquote, help you. They're not there to help you.
Yeah, right.
They work for the company. And advisors don't realize that. And as a result of that, you think that they're trying to help you, but they're not. And in most cases, advisors will do well to go outside the company and at least get an idea of what it's worth. Mm-hmm. So if you work for company A, RIA or broker dealer A, you ought to go talk to a couple of other ones and see what they're going to offer. And that's one of the obstacles that is unique in the financial advisory business. Technically, all of us, unless you work for one of the two big wirehouses, we're independent brokers. We're independent contractors. So our clients stay with us. And the rule is very clear, which is you can take your clients with you. Now, an advisor, from a compliance standpoint, you can't be prevented from doing that. Mm-hmm. You can do some things in the final sales agreement about non-competes and things like that, but you can take your clients with you. If the clients want to go with you, if they want to stay with Julia as their advisor, you can take them with you. There's nothing that the current company can stop you from. Second item, one of the big obstacles is advisors tend to overvalue their business.
Right.
And that's probably the same in every industry, but advisors get this, they fall in love with their company and they tend to overvalue it. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, they will say, oh, you know, the normal multiple is 2x, but my business is going to be 4x or mm-hmm. something like that. And sure. then you have to have the talk with them, the talk mm-hmm. that says, maybe not in that regard. Another obstacle. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I guess it would probably depend on what kind of a book of business we're talking about, right? Assets under management. I mean, is it a combination of, you know, insurance and, you know, other different types of assets and investments, or, you know, how old are the clients? I mean, you know, so are they going to start tapping in and then that's going to devalue what you have there in the book, right?
Exactly. And that's why many advisors overvalue their business. They look at, as an example, last year's revenue or last year's net profit or whatever it is that they want. Mm-hmm. And they just extend it out without looking at the quality of their client base.
Yeah.
Just like you said, so last year we did a bunch of annuity work or as an example, or last year we did a bunch of insurance work. Well, that's declining revenue. And depending on the deal that you have there, that revenue is going to go down year over year over year. Mm-hmm. Or if your clients are a particular niche and they may all be retiring and not need you as much. And so they will be actually, believe it or not, they'll be depleting their assets. So think about that for a minute. It's the only business that I know of where you can count on your clients to have less assets because they're spending them down.
Right.
And so if we project out lifetime value of a client, the two clients aren't exactly the same. One might be building wealth and the other one might be declining wealth. We can't use the same multiple for both of them because they're very different circumstances. You know, the other item I was just going to mention in all this is that advisors, okay, I'm going to be kind to my colleagues. Many advisors don't have a strong team around them. They might have a strong advisory team, but as you know, Julie, we really need a strong team of advisors to help us exit a business.
Right.
And that's a weakness that many financial advisors have. They don't have a business attorney, or the CPA doesn't know anything about selling a business, or they might not have a life coach, or they certainly don't have an exit planning coach unless they're smart and have already found you. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the challenges in the industry because advisors tend to be technically proficient with numbers and think they know everything.
Yeah.
But it's the cobbler's son goes barefoot. They are not really well built for it. They're not really ready to exit. And mm-hmm. so when I talk to financial advisors, one of the things we talk about is who's on your team? And we will try to build that up for them.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, and I bet you're getting busier and busier too, because I'm hearing out there, you know, in my travels, that professional advisory firms, not just, you know, financial advisor firms, but also any like financial services, like say, for instance, CPA firms, you know, insurance agencies, a lot of the owners of those firms are you know, wanting to move on, or partners of firms. And so it seems like there's more need out there for the work that you do in your expertise.
Yes, and it's a demographic shift. And I don't remember where I saw this, but there are more advisors that are 65 and older.
Yes.
Than there are advisors that are 35 and younger.
Right.
And so who's going to take over? So one of the challenges, if you're going to find a successor, is are they qualified? You don't just take 20 years or however long it is that you've been an advisor, mm-hmm. and switch that to somebody that's new in the industry. So there's a succession planning challenge, and the big firms are recognizing it and trying to work with it. But frankly, there's a dearth of qualified advisors that are in the 40 year old range, and that's the challenge. That's the challenge that we face in our industry.
Yeah, I know. I've been hearing that more and more. Well, now you've got a resource for our listeners for a download. And so tell us just briefly about that, and then we're going to wrap up.
Sure. So I tried to make this simple for the advisors and created a special report that is the 5 vital steps to take when you're trying to sell a business, a financial advisor business, or any other business. And I created the special report called Simple Business Exit. And you can find it at simplebusinessexit.com. And it just gives somebody a roadmap that they can start looking at. And the first 2 steps they can do as soon as they have an inkling that they may want to leave. The other steps may take longer. But the first step is set a plan. And I'm a financial planner, so for goodness sakes, you better start with a plan, right? And the second step is do an assessment. Find out how prepared your company is or your advisory practice is from the buyer's perspective. And mm-hmm. in this free resource, you can get it online or you can print it out and work through it. We'll really give you the idea of the steps to take and at least get you started. And
Okay. It's,
the biggest challenge is inaction. And you can't just all of a sudden wake up one day and say, oh, I think I'll get out of my advisory business second Tuesday of next week.
Right.
Doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
The more time you have, probably the better job you're going to do and create that winning on the way out approach.
Okay. Well, great. All right. And we'll get the rest of those 5 steps when we download that special report. And I will make sure to have a link to that in the show notes, Steve. Thanks so much for being on the show. I really appreciate your wisdom and sharing your story with our listeners.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thanks for allowing me to be a guest and for you and I to see if we can help the people that are listening.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much, Julie.
Absolutely. You're welcome, Steve. And everyone else, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your network and join us again next time.